The past several months, we've been going through study of Genesis, beginning chapters, understanding how so much of it is foundational to our understanding of the world in which we have been born into, the world that God created, different principles of life, how the world started and how we got to where we are today. And this is the final message in this series. I want to kind of wrap it up. Next week we'll be beginning a series in the book of 1 Corinthians. Praying about it and felt the Lord would have us look through that. Somewhere we're thankful that for the Corinthian church, even though there was such a mess at a certain point, it was good because we see how Paul wrote so much to them, straightened things out, and it helps us with our understanding of what a church is supposed to be like. And so we'll begin that next Sunday night. But as we start, let's just pray, and then we'll get right into study this evening. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for your word. We thank you for this time that we've had in the book of Genesis, Lord, and we are thankful that we can absolutely trust your word as absolute truth. We just pray you would bless us this evening, Lord, as we look into your word, that we might be blessed by it. We pray especially for Art Waldie tonight and his family, Lord, just be with them. We pray that be your will that you might heal him up. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And so we begin in Genesis chapter 9. We want to look at this evening the rise of nations and then finally the call of Abraham. And we read in Genesis 9 verse 19 and 20, it says, "These are the three sons of Noah, and of them was the whole earth overspread." That we understand that he had the three sons and nations. The nations that covered the face of this earth came from these three individuals. We see this also in Genesis 10:32, where it concludes, it says, "These are the families of the sons of Noah after their generations in their nations, and by these were the nations divided in the earth after the flood." That we understand that the children of Japheth recognized as the Gentiles, that they spread over much of Europe and Asia. They were probably, he had the largest descendants of all. We see the descendants of Ham covered Africa and much of the Middle East. And then those of Shem covered the Middle East towards India. And we find that it was the division occurred according, first of all, to families, and then also we understand according to languages, that when God at the Tower of Babel confounded their languages, made them all so that they could not understand each other's speech, that those who spoke the same divided off. And so it fulfilled the desire that the Lord had, that they would fill the earth and repopulate the earth. And we see in Genesis 10 and verse 25, it speaks, "And unto Eber were born two sons. The name of the one was Peleg, for in his days was the earth divided." And trying to understand what this means, some said, well, it refers to the division of continents, and that could be possible. We understand that something that cataclysmic, that would sound more like that would have happened during the flood, but we don't know for sure. We see that it is looked at by many as being as speaking of when the nations themselves were dispersed after the flood, after the Tower of Babylon. And so we see that it speaks of this, and this is we want to understand that. Well, how would that happen? How would all these people be dispersed if the continents were separated? How would that actually work? And we understand, as we spoke of a couple weeks ago, that with the ice age occurring after the flood, that was of necessity happening with all the different, all the extra moisture in the air, all the the volcanic activity that would have created a cooling effect, that there would have been a great deal of water locked up in the ice. And that happening, it would have lowered the sea level and created land bridges to these different continents. And we understand that many people that came to North America originally came through the Bering Strait land bridge, that there was their ability at a certain time in history for them to cross. And so there was a dispersal of people, but then after a certain point, things changed. The glaciers from the Ice Age receded, the water levels raised up again, and then migration was no longer possible. And then we find that these people were separated, they could not join again, and they became distinctive peoples. And I want to just read, this is from Answers in Genesis, just a bit of information on it that I found very interesting, that Usher, he did a biblical chronology of time, and he reckoned that the flood occurred in 2349 to 2348 B.C., and he reckoned that Peleg was born in 2247 B.C., about 100 years later. And it's interesting that there's different records that within history that point to the validity of this very clearly. In 331 B.C., Alexander the Great had defeated Darius at Gaugmela near Arbela and journeyed to Babylon. And he received 1,903 years of astronomical observations from the Chaldeans, which they claim dated back to the founding of Babylon. And if this was so, then that would place the founding of Babylon in 2234 B.C., or about 13 years after the birth of Peleg. And this was also corroborated by others. And we see with Egypt that Constantinus Manassas wrote that the Egyptian state lasted 1,663 years. If correct, then counting backward from the time that Cambyses, king of Persia, conquered Egypt in 526 B.C., gives us a year of 2188 B.C. for the founding of Egypt, about 60 years after the birth of Peleg. And we understand that Mizraim, the son of Ham, led his colony into Egypt, and the Hebrew word for Egypt is Mizraim. And then we see with Greece as well, according to Eusebius of Caesarea, king of the Greek city of Sicyon, west of Corinth, began his reign in 2089 B.C., 1,313 years before the first Olympiad, in 776 B.C. And if this is correct, then this king started to reign about 160 years after the birth of Peleg. That we recognize Babylon, Egypt, and Greece each spoke a different language from the beginning, that we understand that it matches with the record and the description in the scriptures, that we have the Tower of Babel where things began, that Babylon would have been the first to emerge, and then Egypt further out and Greece further yet, that it would come as well. And so it certainly seems to fit with the biblical record very well. And we understand that the Lord divided these nations by these families, by their languages, and they spread over the whole world. But we recognize the state of the world at this time, that it is not in a good state. It is not a situation in which there is really hope in the world at this time. They have just experienced a great judgment because of the sin of the world, but the nations are already turning away from God. We see this at the Tower of Babel, that they were setting up their government, they were setting up a religion that was apart from God, that was counterfeit to Him. And we spoke of the spirit of Babylon last week, and essentially we understand that it pervaded throughout the world. And that's what happened, that even though these people were dispersed from the Tower of Babel, that there was so much that they carried with them. And we understand that with all these different people of different languages dispersing, that we find in each of the different places that any culture, if you travel to throughout the world, that they always have different legends about there being a global flood, wherever you can be in the world. And it's interesting as well, even in the Chinese lettering, Their alphabet is, well, their language is very pictorial. And it's interesting when you see the character for tower, that it's made of several different characters. It's of made grass, plus mud, plus people, and one mouth. And together, that makes tower. And so it certainly speaks very much of what happened at the Tower of Babel. And people look and they based on their research, they figure that the Tower of Babel would have been what was called a ziggurat or a step pyramid. And it's interesting throughout the world that form of architecture is replicated throughout, not only in Mesopotamia among the Babylonians and the Sumerians, but we also see it amongst the Mayans and the Aztecs in North America, the same style of architecture. And so it is, we understand that these people are spreading throughout the world, but they're not, their governments are not nations under God. Their religion is something counterfeit, going against the revelation of God. And so it is a situation where there is not much hope. And yet we understand that despite all of this, that God is there to give hope to the nations. We understand that even after the flood, even after the fall of man, that where things look so bleak, he gave that promise that a seed of the woman would come and would bruise the head of the serpent. And we understand that even though in the time of the flood that he looked upon the world and the imagination of the thoughts of every man's heart was only evil continually, but yet Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And we understand that he was working to bring a seed. And though many of the people of the world turned away from the truth, turned away from the one true God unto idolatry and wickedness, we understand that the Lord had a plan. And it was through one man named Abram of Ur of the Chaldees, through whom the seed would come that would provide deliverance from the curse of sin to the world. And Ur of the Chaldees is referred in that way in the Bible. It is the people of that time are known by history as the Sumerians. And Ur was a real city. It was on the mouth of the Euphrates River. It was essentially the easternmost point of the Fertile Crescent in Mesopotamia. And it was a very advanced city. It had irrigation systems. It had coded laws. The Sumerians were the ones that invented what's called cuneiform, the first alphabet, and where they pressed their letters and figures into clay tablets and then dried them, and that provided a record. And we understand that that history of Ur, as they've excavated, that it was not some backwards society or anything like that. There were libraries there. There were schools. There were two man-made ports that were linked by canals going through the city between the Euphrates River. And so it was a place that was very advanced, very strong in some ways, very technologically superior, but yet we understand that it was separated from God, that their thought of God was not what it should be, that there is a great ziggurat of Ur, and it was dedicated to the moon god, to a false god and a false religion, not to the one true God. And so we see that the Lord found this man named Abram, and he called him out from there. And we see that calling in Genesis chapter 12, in verse 1. Genesis 12 and verse 1, it says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." That we see that he called out this one man that he needed to leave this city, this civilization that was not following after God. He needed to separate himself from it. He needed to start anew. He needed to go out where he'd never been and follow after the one true God. And we understand through this passage and the subsequent passage that God promised him a land, promised him a seed, and promised him a blessing. And he promised to him literally, eternally, and unconditionally. That he promised him protection, that he would bless those that bless him, curse him that curseth thee. And he was promised a seed as well, that there would be a people that would emerge from him. And it says, in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. And we understand that it was through Abraham that came the nation of Israel, and through whom came the Savior of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we understand that from this point, the rest of the Old Testament focuses on one nation specifically, on the nation of Israel, of the seed of Abraham, those who were to be the line through which salvation was come, and who were to be a blessing to the nations. And so we see the pattern of Abraham's life, and we look at him, that he's referred to as Father Abraham, the father of us all, and we understand that he was a different man, that he stood out in history from all those around him, that even though their society was very advanced, very impressive, we would look at, that he left it all behind, that he probably had different property perhaps in Ur, but we find that he decided instead to be a nomad, to be a stranger and pilgrim upon this earth, that the only land that he actually ever owned in his life was a few wells and then a burial place for his wife and then later for himself. And so we see that he was a man of faith, a man of obedience. This is spoken of in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8, it says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. Now we understand that he was told, he had no idea what the future was hold, not knowing where he went, having no certainty in his life, but yet he obeyed. And he went quickly, and we see that throughout his life, that whenever God asked him to do something, that he did not delay. When he asked him to sacrifice his son as a burnt offering, we don't find him procrastinating. We find that he arose up early the next morning and followed the Lord. We see verse 9, and by faith he sojourned in the land of promises in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And we understand that with Abraham, that he spent a life out in the country, that even though the land that he passed through was promised to his descendants, he never received the promises himself. He saw them afar off, as it says in verse 13, and was persuaded of them, embraced him, and confessed that he was a stranger and pilgrim on the earth. And we understand that he was seeking something different than what all the world sought after. He was separating himself from the world and its thinking, that even though he was rich, and we understand that the Lord blessed him throughout his life, we understand that his purpose, his goal was not to accrue wealth, not to become a great man, but to follow after the one true God. Wherever he led him, he would go. He was a stranger and a pilgrim upon this earth. And we understand that if we have accepted Christ as our Savior, we look at ourselves as being children of Abraham. It says in Galatians 3 and verse 6, even as Abraham believed God and was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed, so then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. And so we recognize him, that Abraham was a man who lived differently from those around him, that didn't think the way the world thought, that had a different purpose in life, that he was following after the one true God. And he had a relationship with him that was so close that God referred to him as his friend. And the Lord blessed him. Even though it took many years and many times it seemed like God was not going to fulfill his promise, we find even in his old age that him and his wife were able to have a son. And that we see that spoken of in Hebrews 11 once again, that says, therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. And we understand there is the physical seed of Abraham, the Jewish nation, which the Lord has blessed, which the Lord has preserved through the generations. And then we also understand there is the spiritual seed of Abraham, those that have followed him in faith and obedience, who believed in the scriptures, believed in what God declared unto them, and that is that there was one who was to come that would take away the sin of the world, and that Abraham and those in his time before Christ came, that they looked forward in faith. And it wasn't based on their good works that they were made righteous. They believed in God and it was counted unto them for righteousness. And in the same way, we who live after Christ was upon this earth and paid the penalty, we look backwards in faith of what he has done, that it was sufficient. And so we understand that Abraham gives us an example of how we are called out by God away from the thinking of this world, that we're given a new purpose, that we are to be a peculiar people unto the Lord, and that we walk by faith, that we live life seeking after the one true God, that we don't seek after the material things of this world, but we seek after the things of eternity. As it says, that he sought a country, but it wasn't an earthly country. He desired a better country, that isn't heavenly. And we understand that he sought that and he received it in time. And we look at that this is, and these different messages that we've gone through, these lay the foundation for our understanding of the scriptures, of how it progresses, how the world works, how we understand where we are in this world, how God has established the way the world works. And we look at this, that even though there was such wickedness in the world already, even though it seemed that that man, despite the judgment of the flood, continued in his rebellious heart, yet the Lord was providing a way of deliverance. And we can be so thankful for that, that he does that throughout history, that he raises up men and women who he uses to make a difference. And may the Lord help us that we would follow after our father Abraham, and that we would be people of faith, and that we would step out from the world and fulfill the calling that the Lord has upon our lives. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you once again for your word. We thank you for the testimony of Abraham. And we just pray, Lord, that you would help us to be faithful in this time, that you have called us out of darkness into your marvelous light, called us to be ambassadors for you to a lost and dying world. We just pray you would bless us this day, Lord. Help us to not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And let us always seek after what is for eternity, Lord, what is not temporal, but will last forever, Lord. We just pray you would bless us this evening and the remainder of this week. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's, in closing, let's turn to number 261, and we'll sing Trust and Obey, hymn 261.